All right, settle down, gentlemen. As you know, we here at Netflix are determined to bring the best original content we can to our customers. We need a new breakout hit to get people talking again. Remember, this is just a brainstorming meeting, so who's got an idea?
Ooh.
And I swear to God, Jenkins, if the words Firefly Revival leave your mouth, I will throw you bodily from this office.
Aw, never mind.
Now, who has a workable idea?
You know, I've been toying with a little something in my spare time.
Good man, Aaron. Lay it on us.
Okay, so you all remember the old cartoon Rugrats. We take that, but put a new spin on it. Update it for the kids that grew up on it. Give it a darker edge. Make it live action with some sexy 20-somethings. We put Tommy, Chucky, and the rest on a Jack Kerouac-style road trip, cross-country, and sexy hijinks ensue. We call it Road Rats. What do you think?
You had me at sexy 20-somethings. Let's put that on the idea board. Who's next?
I think I've got a surefire winner.
Hit me with it, Jefferson.
What's hot right now with millennials? Superheroes. What else do millennials like? The rap music. So I'm thinking we make a hip-hop hero that is real urban, you know, real street. He probably also knows kung fu and is, like, real spiritual. He even greets people with namaste.
Ooh, yes, as long as we can make him a wealthy, whiny, milquetoast white guy.
Sir, you just read my mind.
Okay, anyone else? Yes, Howard.
So, from what we've seen in the past, our viewers love a variety of things, like documentaries and things that remind them of shows they've already watched. So, I was thinking, why not combine the two?
You've got my attention. What did you have in mind?
We do an in-depth series about the behind-the-scenes production of a beloved old show. One people remember but don't know a ton about, and one that had a ton of before-they-were-famous celebs we can interview. We call it Making a Murder, She Wrote.
Great. It's going up on the board. Who else has something?
I've got an idea for a period piece, romantic drama set in the Renaissance about two older women
that... I'm sorry, you're losing me here.
I suppose we could always fund some more of those Adam Sandler movies everyone hates but that people inexplicably watch.
That's the kind of out-of-the-box thinking I like to hear. I think we've got a good start here. Now, on to other business. We have a whole batch of new C-grade horror movies coming in, and we have to make room in the library. What beloved classic should we dump?
Look, all I'm saying is that in addition to doing Living La Vida Mocha, he definitely also did another Latin craze from the early dance hit 90s dance hit of Buy My Goats.
Buy My Goats.
They are on sale at my house. Buy My Goats.
Yeah.
Come and get them. They are inexpensive. I'm not very good at this.
No.
But I mean, those are both definitely very real Weird Al songs.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, he also did the Rico Suave parody of Taco Grande.
That feels like that might be actually a real one. Is that?
That's an actual one that he did.
Oh, shoot. You're messing with me. I thought we were making up fake Weird Al songs that should totally exist.
No.
Like Farm of Chameleons.
I just want people to know the real good ones that are out there.
Farm and Chameleons would be easy if it was like my dreams, where they're in my pens and not in my house.
Someone come and get these chameleons out of here.
The brochure said there'd only be a few. There are way too many chameleons. Yeah, this isn't working.
No.
There's too many jokes in this.
You got to leave it to the master.
This is on Weird Al. Dear Weird Al.
Have I got a pitch for you?
So it's about chameleons.
You remember like 30, 40 years ago when people gave a shit about stuff?
Do you remember Boy George?
Do you remember the boys George?
and his band, which I believe was known as the Culture Club. Which did this great song that was just ripe for parody about a farm of chameleons.
Yeah, a farm, a farm, a farm, a farm, a farm of chameleons.
Yeah, come on, let's get this going, Weird Al. Courteously yours, your obedient servant, System Mastery.
Yeah, there you go.
That's about right. So, folks, welcome. Welcome to Afterthought, the companion podcast to System Mastery, where every other week we get together and talk about whatever we want, usually leading off with some discussion about whatever game it was we just reviewed. And, John, what was that?
Why, that was Cthulhu Live.
That's right. I had almost forgotten because I've been busy. In addition to you going off on a fancy and exotic cruise to distant lands, where did you guys go? You're only gone for like a weekend.
Ensenada.
Oh, okay. So, Ensenada.
In the Mexico.
In the Mexico. Okay, great. A place we could easily drive to.
Oh, yeah.
But taking a boat's more fancy.
No, it was one of those things where, like, we got there and I looked around and I was like, man, I could have just driven here.
Did you actually get out and go to Ensenada and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
For like an afternoon?
Didn't buy any of the excursion packages, but just, you know, walked around, saw the sights, got some really nice tequila in a restaurant.
Did you do the lobster thing? Because I hear that's like the whole point there.
Oh, no, because I hate seafood.
Oh, that's right. You do. You hate every seafood that isn't just a fried piece of unrecognizable brown.
Oh, yeah. So the, I mean, a lot of the people that I was with were like, oh, yeah, we're going to go to this famous fish taco place, and they've got all sorts of ridiculous seafood stuff, and like you can get octopus with the suckers on there and everything is like big chunks. It's great.
And you were like, I'm gonna go back onto the boat and just scarf down bisque. But not lobster bisque.
Just the bisque, please.
Unflavored bisque, please.
Please, if you could get me that just stock standard bisque, thank you.
Oh, man. Unflavored bisque is the nastiest thing I've heard about in a long time. What flavor of bisque is this, anyway? I can't really pick
it. Oh, it's unflavored.
It's vanilla. No, it's not even vanilla. It's not even French vanilla with a little flex.
No, it's like when you go get that whey protein powder and they've got like vanilla and chocolate and stuff, and then you just get the kind that's regular whey protein flavored. You're like, I'm just gonna put this in water and drink it.
It's new crystal bisque. The bisque that lets you see the bottom of your bowl.
Oh, crystal bisque. And then we got new bisque. That didn't work out either.
We had to go back to bisque classic.
Oh, bisque classic.
This has been a lot of jokes about thin, clear soups.
Man, that's good stuff. I did get a burrito and like one of the Cokes and, like I said, some really nice tequila and everything. It cost me like $8. It was great.
That's pretty great. And then, of course, I didn't have time to think about Cthulhu Live in the slightest because I was up in the land of ports.
All up in it.
Up in Portland, where it is true that the beer is plentiful, the cider is readily available.
And the beards are bushy.
Yeah, the beards are everywhere, and it is always raining, but only for like 30 seconds at a time.
Yeah.
That's like a weird thing about the people up there. They were telling me, they're like, oh, if it starts raining, no one here has an umbrella because it's done raining in 30 seconds. You're going to look like an idiot.
Yeah, it's the same thing Florida during the summer is like, oh, what's going to happen? Every afternoon, you're going to get about 2 minutes of rain, and then that's about it.
So we had a good time up there. We did all the standard eat. We went to all the donut places that you're supposed to go to.
All of them.
Yeah, well, there were
two.
Well,
I saw you went to the Blue Star, which is what I have been recommended.
Yeah, Blue Star is kind of the connoisseur's choice, where Voodoo Donuts is kind of the
tourist trap.
The Guy Fieri's choice.
Yeah, I went to Donut Flavor Town.
By the way, how great of a magazine would Guy Fieri's choice be?
Guy Fieri fancier.
Oh, man, that's awful. It's just how to tame and groom your Guy Fieri. How to make him look more like a walking cheese fry.
Guy Fieri aficionado.
Make sure to keep around garbage cans, because for some reason he's going to fill those with food and then dump it on plates.
Donkey sauce.
Who wants a little flay of donkey sauce?
Oh, on the cruise, one of the things they had was a burger place, and it was Guy Fieri's burger joint.
Oh, cripes.
There was a Guy Fieri themed place on my ship.
I feel like any Guy Fieri-themed place should only be open during Halloween.
Ooh, spooky burger. Welcome to Spooky Burger.
Is that flavor sauce moving? I'm sorry, donkey sauce. I prefer to call it just flavor sauce.
It's our new sauce, Monster Blood. It's ketchup.
What kind of donkey sauce is this? Oh, it's plain.
Flavorless.
Flavorless donkey sauce. And we brought it right back around.
There we go.
Yeah, but I also went to Voodoo Donuts. And honestly, of the Voodoo Donuts I ate, and I tried four different kinds.
Ooh.
I didn't eat four giant donuts, just so you know. I just took a couple bites out of each. The best one was the Grape Ape donut.
I just took a couple bites and then threw it at the person behind the counter.
No, we were splitting. We had a team of people who were splitting. We wanted to get a maximum.
Had a whole team here.
We assembled a crack squad of donut tasters.
But if you can find them, and you can give them donuts.
And it won't be hard, because they aren't very mobile.
If you can find them, and they're just over there.
And their scooters are charging. You might be able to hire the donut team. Beep, 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 beep. Also blowing a whistle. Little American flag sticking 10 feet up out the back of my rascal. No, but the best one of the voodoo donuts was definitely the Grape Ape, which just had grape Lick-A-Made powder all over it. It was really good. But Blue Star was legitimate, like, these are serious business. These are like fancy cakes that happen to be donut sized.
It's weird because on the cruise that also came up. One of my good friends in the Bay Area mentioned last time that he was in Portland. He's like, oh yeah, Blue Star is where it is at now.
Yeah, Blue Star was phenomenal. Granted, four donuts at Blue Star cost $15, but they were really good. It was like a blueberry bourbon vanilla donut and a raspberry rosemary. And then one of mine was a key lime and Meyer lemon stuffed donut.
Ooh.
That was phenomenal because the stuffing, the stuff in the middle, the cream,
yeah,
wasn't sweet in the slightest. It was sour, but it was matched by the powdered sugar on the outside. It was amazing.
Huh.
It wasn't like eating an overly sweet cake. It was super good.
Sweet.
So there you go.
Sounds great.
So Portland was amazing. I picked up a couple of new terrible role-playing games just for us.
Yay.
Because that's all I buy anymore.
that's all I can do.
Even when I went to Portland, the first thing I was like, where's the nerd store? We got to go get this taken care of. I almost bought a copy of the Mouse Guard RPG up there. Because they had a ripped copy at Powell's, the world's largest bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's just the West Coast's largest bookstore. I don't know. There's a lot of records in Portland, as it turns out.
Yeah, seems like a lot of record stores in Portland,
there
as it turns
that
out.
Too, but they're also like, oh, we have the world's smallest park and the world's oldest dog and the world's...
flavorless bisque.
The world's most flavorless bisque. And the world's most sane whale. Hi there.
Hi there. Welcome to Portland.
You may be wondering about my accent. Like a lot of Portlandians, I am an implant. Transplant. I'm not an implant.
I'm an implant.
I'm an implant.
I'm in your mind.
I was surgically put here.
Hi there. I'm in your brain.
So, anyway, good times all around. So Cthulhu Live.
Cthulhu Live. Boy, what more could I possibly say about this?
I feel like we always do all the LARPs the same way, which is incredulous that anyone would do this. And I think we might be starting to do them a disservice whenever we cover one by just being like, no one would run this.
Well, the problem is we keep covering ones that are like, all right, well, what you're going to need is a dedicated crew of people. I'm like, oh, all right.
Someone on Reddit sent us evidence that what's-his-face from Parks and Rec, Nick Offerman, has actually done an extra job on a Cthulhu Live game.
Wow.
And he was like, he was telling us, if it's good enough for Nick Offerman, it's good enough for you guys. And I'm like, eh. I don't know, man. I've seen Megan Mullally.
I don't know,
I'm kidding,
man.
She's hot.
I don't like Parks and Rec all that much. Yeah, come at me, internet. Give me your hate.
Here comes the internet.
Feed it to me.
I mean, I love Parks and Rec, but Nick Offerman's probably my least favorite part of it.
Well, actually, I've only ever watched the first episode, so, you know.
He's just sort of the sort of person that encourages people to act like a total dude. I don't know. I you know what? He's funny. I'm not going down this road.
You know what?
I like the show better than you do. Everyone hate John.
Wait a minute. Hold on. No one hate me.
Yeah, and then other people were saying that people do enjoy the extra roles in the LARP games because it requires less effort on their part, that they just have to,
which,
you know,
seems odd to
effort.
Me. It's like, I can understand maybe if you were like, I'm running this on a college campus, and I go to the local, like, theater kids,
mm-hmm,
and especially the ones that are like, what are you? Oh, we're production.
Yeah.
And you're like, hey, man, you want to help us out with, like, doing some lighting or costuming or whatever? And they'd be like, sure. That sounds great for me because I'm one of those people that hates to act, but I love theater.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see that. But just the people who are like, oh, yeah, I'm here for, I don't know, one NPC role, and then I'm just going to leave. Why?
The thing that struck me about that comment was just the word effort, because I was like, so it's a lot of effort to play in a Cthulhu Live game? Because that doesn't seem like a good experience then. I mean, I never like, oh, I can't wait to go play D&D with my friends. Oh, but do I have the spoons for this?
Well,
I don't know.
Way more for any of the LARPs because you got to actually do stuff.
I guess that's true.
You can't
so it
just
is actually
sit
high
there
energy.
And Eat pizza and roll dice. You got to get out there. You got to make your dreams a reality.
You got to ask those questions. You got to hit the hard-hitting points.
You got to get out there and rock, paper, scissors your way.
Sell, sell, sell. Don't you take no for an answer.
Pizza is for closers.
Put your foot in the door. So, you know, maybe we're wrong. Maybe I'm sure there are people out there having good times with lots of these games. It seemed like Cthulhu Live had a bit of a following that actually reached out to us and told us, no, this game's playable. People play it.
Yeah.
So, hey, good for them.
Well, I mean, of the LARPs that we've looked at so far, the Cthulhu one I had mentioned before, I think is probably one of the better ways to get horror into a game, since you can actually, like, jump scare people or give them a weird, gruesome scene. Because we've talked about horror a lot whenever we've done a horror game, and the problem is whenever you're, you know, sitting in a well-lit room on a couch just hanging out with your friends, the ability to feel terror is not exactly high.
That's, well, you know, I was in a Powered by the Apocalypse game a few months ago, and during it, the storyteller pulled a gun, so that was definitely, that was a little surprising.
And I died. I was a ghost the whole time.
I've been a ghost for weeks, John. I'm just so into that Patreon. I can't move on.
Thanks. Great. I'm taking your ghost money.
My ghost, I'll haunt the shit out of you.
I will haunt your ass.
I will haunt you so bad.
I'll haunt you like a Chuck Tingle novel.
You'll be all like, ooh, I'm just going to play a little Overwatch, see what's going on. I'll be like, no, son, boo. Boo on this day.
Boogins.
That's what will happen to you.
Giving me the boogins.
I'm going to give you so many of those boogins if you try and take my ghost monies. So, yeah, I mean, this is another thing that we should probably mention. So far, one group has offered to let us into their LARP for a view and review session, and they're way the shit up in, like, Sacramento, I think.
Yeah.
And that's not close enough, people. We're not driving to Sacramento. So if you're a LARPer and you
I only know one person in Sacramento, and there's no way I'm going up there.
Well, we also know that guy, because not only was he nice enough to invite us to his LARP game, but then he also won that contest we had.
Yes, he did.
So he got a free copy of Immortal, The Invisible War.
Indeed.
That we wrote all over in silver Sharpie like jerks.
Like some kind of asshole.
So we need a closer LARP, people. If you ever want us to do LARPs correctly, you need to be near us within, I'd say, let's say...
LA's the limit.
LA. You want to say, oh, well, I could maybe go for the Bay Area.
You know, sure.
But only the Bay Area. The circle isn't a perfect circle. It pretty much tightens up around the Central Valley there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's basically a dick shape that goes up California. Yeah.
And then the balls extend out into Vegas.
Yeah.
I'm willing to go to Vegas for this.
Of course the balls extend out into Vegas. Right there in Vegas, the taint.
Incidentally, folks, if anyone needs a new weatherman, we are considering that opportunity as well.
As you can see, the storm is really hitting the taint of Nevada right now.
There's a high-pressure area building in this ball sack I'm drawing, and it's radiating outwards. You can really feel the heat coming off. And here, cup your hand around there.
Here, as you can see, what looks like hair on this sack is actually heat waves.
No, it's just hair. I just drew hair. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to confuse the watchers. The viewers.
Yes, the watchers.
I didn't mean to confuse Uatu with my pubic hair.
Sorry, Uatu.
I know you keep it pretty much clean and smooth down there. I watch. I do not ask the questions or change things. I merely observe and watch and shave my junk.
That is all that I do.
Uatu the Watcher.
I am here to observe history unfold and keep a clear scrot.
Yep. That's what Uatu should do.
That's it. If you're listening, Marvel, have I got a pitch for you?
Dear Weird Al Yankovic.
Well, sir.
If there was ever a time to cut to questions.
If there was ever a time to just stop this line of questioning.
We're going nowhere very fast.
Oh, we're going somewhere, but I don't think you want to follow us.
No, I think people do. All right, so I've got a couple of questions for the listeners here.
Just a couple.
From the listeners, for you and for me.
For you.
Listeners, I've got questions for you. Where were you on the night of April 3rd? Oh, well, that's good information. Thank you.
Thank you, listeners.
That's good. I'm glad you're being honest with us.
So forthright and just immediate on that answer, too.
A lot of masturbating, as it turns out.
Turns out, it's a real good night for yanking it.
You know,
Weird Al yanking it.
Dear Weird Al yanking it, have I got an idea for
the
you?
The porn parody artist, Weird Al yanking it.
Oh, man. I just recommended the song Strokin' to him with, like, no alterations, and he took it.
Took it and ran.
All right, folks, here comes a question. Do you guys know any popular games, besides the Fantasy Flight games Star Wars, where you can play a merchant class? I love merchants in anything and would love to play one. I've had a pewter merchant mini for over 10 years that I've never gotten to use, but brought to every game session I've ever done just in case. There's a long story about why I don't get to play one in FFG Star Wars. Signed, Merchant Mastery.
Several things spring to mind, actually.
Yeah.
Rogue Trader.
Yeah, Rogue Trader's
kind of
merchant.
In the 40K
yeah.
universe, mm-hmm. Rogue Trader, you can basically just play as a space merchant slash pirate.
Yeah, and if we're only sticking to good games, I guess I'll leave Fatal out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But,
well, I was going to say, you can also really do that with Exalted. You can make a character that is super into buying and selling goods if
yeah,
you want to.
Take your bureaucracy, presence, and socialize skills and become a character who masters the trade.
Yeah.
Of course, that's not really a merchant. That's more like just a master of all merchants. But another really good one would be the Arcane Arranger prestige class from D20 Modern's Urban Arcana setting,
mm-hmm.
which is sort of the sort of person who can buy and sell anything and always knows how has items up his sleeve just for sale. So there's a lot of games out there that have done it. It's usually just not a core book sort of thing.
Yeah, and you usually have to go with something that doesn't have, I want to say, as tight of a theme around combat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you've got to pick a game that allows you to do other things, because most of the time, if you're looking at stuff like, you know, your D&Ds and whatnot, usually it's, okay, the basic setting idea is, how does a person fight?
Yeah, yeah. Especially,
I mean, there's stuff like Fifth Cycle or whatever where you can just be like, oh, I'm a dude.
Yeah, we should leave the Heartbreakers and the Fatals and stuff out of this because we're looking for good answers. But if you're looking for bad answers, then Fatal, every single Heartbreaker ever made.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
if you
want to
look at Fantasy Imperium,
yeah,
great.
You can play a Dirt Merchant because that's realistic.
Yeah.
Yeah, but playing as a Rad Merchant is a little harder to find.
Yeah, where it gives you, like, powers and abilities and things based around the whole idea of buying and selling is a little more difficult.
Yeah, and they also exist. There's some Palladium games. I know Rifts has a merchant class in it that you can definitely do. So there's a lot of games out there where you can pull that off. I feel like even The Secret of Zoran.
The Legend of the Secret of Zoran
had some merchant classes among the
various. Oh, yeah, I mean, of the
classes.
Jobs you could pick.
Yeah, so there's a lot out there. The one thing you're probably not going to find all that often is the sort of guy that looks like, you know, a fantasy merchant.
The guy with the puffy sleeves and a cart of apples.
Yeah, if you want to play that, then you need to repaint those apples as sausages and get yourself a copy of GURPS Discworld.
Yeah.
And that's cutting me own throat.
Exactly.
All right, so that question came to us from Merchant Mastery. Let's move on to a question from Samuel Liberty. Samuel asks, I was just listening to your Indiana Jones review, and chase scenes in RPGs is one of my pet peeves. In short, I'm wondering if there is any role-playing game that does chases well, even on foot. To further qualify, a good chase mechanic would be A, functional, B, evocative, C, slick, and D, fun, check any three boxes. And that comes to us from Samuel Liberty. There's one I can think of. Do you have any?
Honestly, nothing comes to mind. I'm the same way. Mm-hmm. I almost every time I see either a chase or a like driving mechanic in a game, I pretty much always end up going, God, this is so annoying, and I just don't care.
Yeah, well, the problem is that it usually ends up just being an extended sequence of the same roll.
Oh, yeah, because you're like, oh, you got to another turn, time to roll again.
Yeah.
Did you want to accelerate? Time to roll again.
And it's just binary, because failure always means like, oh, they get away. And you're like, okay, well, they can't get away, because the story sucks if they get away, so they don't get away. They slow down at the distance, and you catch up using rubber band Mario Kart mechanics, I guess.
They hit a blue shell or something.
you hit them with the lightning bolt, and they're really small for a while.
They get a little squid ink on their windshield, and now they can't see. It's because they drove through a fisherman's wharf or some shit.
All right, so they get surrounded by whirling banana peels. The one I can think of that actually had a fairly solid mechanic that was fun to play through is Feng Shui 2. Had a really good chase mechanic. It didn't really its foot mechanic isn't exactly the same, but it has a really good, because it's got a good driver class, it has a really good chase mechanic for playing as drivers.
Okay.
So I can think of that as a decent example. I think the best chase games, the problem is always you got one driver and they have to constantly make skill rolls, And then you have a bunch of other people that are sort of extraneous, but I guess they're just shooting at the other person's extraneous guys.
Possibly.
But, you know, if you were to set up a chase where the driver is not even a character in it, and it's just, hey, your car pulls up to this other car, and you guys have a cool fight on top of the cars, that's fine. It's just set dressing at that point, and I feel like that's probably better than actual chases.
That's almost always been my thing, is every time I look at it, I go, you could just run this as you are chasing them, and then, you know, have the scene play out however you want without having to worry about constantly making rolls for if you can accelerate or make a turn.
Swipe or whatever, all that.
I mean, the
sudden break. Yeah.
Even the foot race ones that, like, are mechanics in games, even if they get to the point where it's like, okay, yeah, they are functional and slick, they're not going to be fun or evocative because it's just going to be,
Check your skill.
I make a roll. And you make a roll, and did I beat you? Okay, I got closer to you, and then maybe I catch you.
I think the PBTA games can do chases fairly well because they're so, just like everything else in Powered by the Apocalypse, they are ultra abstracted.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is anytime you have rules
for
it, it doesn't really work out. But if you're just like, what do? Oh, I'm chasing after this guy. Oh, describe how you chase him.
Yeah, so that sort of thing is a little more functional. So, I mean, that's what I'm going to throw it to. I've been reading Masks recently, the PBTA young superhero game.
Yeah.
It's got a good chase mechanic in it because it's just, you know, unleash your powers or whatever. It's a nice move.
Yeah.
So that's fine. And then Feng Shui 2 had a pretty good one. Other than that, I'd say the best way to play them out in most situations is to have a fight in an interesting situation. Just pick any cool level from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 4, Turtles in Time, and recreate that. You know, oh, it's on a train and you have to fight Leatherhead. He keeps throwing crawfish at you.
Yeah, I mean, you can have things where, like you were saying, like two guys fighting on the top of cars or, you know, trying to shoot out of the window or something. Unless you have someone in your game that is like, oh, I made a driver. Like, I specifically made a driver and this is a thing I want to do.
And whoops, you shouldn't have done that. The only way that ever works is in Shadowrun where they finally wised up and gave those guys drones and little robots to control.
Yeah, because every time there's a driver class, you're like, man, you had better have something else, because if that's all you can do, like 99% of adventures do not involve the driving skill for the exciting part.
That was the hilarious part of that Cthulhu Live we just read, where there was like the one whole class that was dedicated to being a good pilot.
Oh, yeah. It's like, oh, I'm playing the pilot. Great. What happens? We star wipe and appear somewhere.
Yeah, we start the adventure because this is a LARP, so I'm not going to make everyone sit on four chairs and pretend to be in an airplane.
Someone holds up a map with little red dots on it, and then we decide the adventure has started.
And then there's one guy just doing that sort of pretending to drive, two hands moving back and forth motion.
You just got a guy over there in his favorite bomber jacket and goggles going,
and then Abraham Lincoln gets on the plane. His hat's too big for this plane. Also,
I can't see the in-flight movie.
Also, he died before planes. What'll this become? All right. Let's move on. Thanks, Samuel Liberty. Next question comes to us from Mirdradek, which I'm pretty sure is a magic thing, right? It's a mirror and dragons deck.
Yes.
That fine combination.
You did it.
That fine combination of little artifact creatures and dragons.
And dragons.
That's what I'm pretty sure that's what it is. So, Dear Cistern Ministry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
all right. In a recent podcast, you said that if noted horror author and racist Howard Phillips Lovecraft was alive today, he would be the kind of person who self-identified as incel. I demand you cease your erasure of asexual racists at once and make a joke about the fact that he reportedly had sex with his wife only so she would stop bugging him about it. So I guess that must be, I didn't really do all that much research into him after I read a couple of his letters.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe that's true. And he was also constantly badgered into sex by his wife, who, based on what he looked like, I'm not picturing a very interesting. I'm kind of picturing Ruth Buzzy. Just all have sex with me, Richard or Howard Phillips Lovecraft, and she's waxing.
Just
with
hits him with the purse. Yeah,
purse. And he's like,
eh. Oh, fine,
very well. Or I guess he could be like, no, Peg, flush. Our kids are chthonic monsters. Anyway, I'm going to put my hand in my pants.
No, ma'am.
Also, if there was an official System Mastery miniature golf course, what would it look like? What kind of holes would it have? Would you have to get a ball through the mouth of the Sanity Whale? That's a brand new character, so yeah, for sure. Would there be a statue hole with Chester Balloonman standing 3 feet away from the actual course, not affecting play whatsoever? What else would be at this hypothetical golf course? Thank you. The person whose name you mispronounced before reading this, Mirdradek. You say so, but I'm pretty sure I got it right.
I'm pretty sure.
I'm almost sure that not only did I get it right, but I know what it is now. So take that.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, and if it's not, it is now. So so let's see.
Well, I'll tell you what isn't going to be on my mini golf course. One of those fucking ant hole ones.
Oh, the ant hills? Ant hills, okay.
I hate that shit so much.
Yeah, you're not very good at those. We went and played mini golf on a whim the other day, the two of us.
Oh, yeah. And that hole put me on tilt for the rest of the course.
That was only like hole five, and you were just gone.
I was just so angry at that hole.
You know what that hole is, right, folks? It's the one where the actual hole is on top of a little tiny mountain that's at the very, like, in the green. There's just like a little, it's a 6-inch high hill on all sides. It's a little square, and you have to knock it up there just enough that it stops up there or goes in the hole, or it's just going to come down the other side, and you're starting over.
Yeah, it is the most annoying goddamn thing ever.
Yeah, it is for John. Now, my short game is incredibly on point when it comes to to miniature golf, so I don't really care about anthills and shit, but I can't fathom mechanics.
Oh, man, my long game is great. Yeah. I drive like a pro.
You'd really, and that's mini golf, which is saying something, because 9 times out of 10, it's hit it into this cup, and it's going to go down a weird ramp or something and reappear later, and you're really good at those shots where it seems like you should have no control over it.
No, man, I'm good at the mechanics of mini golf.
Yeah.
It's just my actual short game is garbage town.
Your actual short game is a dead bird glued to a rock, where mine is on fire. If you put me anywhere on the green, I'm done. I'm already set. You can just mark whatever that number is plus one. So it was I can see where you wouldn't want one of those.
Yeah.
Now, here's what I'm going to think. I think that hole, we're definitely going to need to have a cartoon wheelchair that pops out of a hole and yells, "I'll get you, A. Steve." Yeah, that's right. I remember my B-mails. Let's see. Definitely the Sanity Whale's got to be a mouth thing.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. It's got to be one of the ones where you hit it into the mouth and it comes out the tail.
No, can we do the blowhole?
No.
Come on. Just a little poof of air and it comes blasting out of the top of the whale. Come on, it's hypothetical. I mean, it's not your local boomers. We can do expensive things.
We can do anything we want here. Yeah, there's a pneumatic tube that comes out of the blowhole, and it just sucks it up through that.
Just like on the real Sanity Whale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly to scale on the Sanity
She's
Whale.
She's got some weird things going on.
Let me tell you, you may be trying to picture the Sanity Whale. You're wrong.
You're definitely very wrong. First of all, 8 feet. We've talked about that before. Not 8 feet long, by the way. It has 8 feet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, you're probably not picturing the correct bonnet.
Or the number of eyes.
It'd surprise you.
It's two. But where are they? Just where they should be on a whale, as it turns out. Let's see. So,
I mean, you got to have a fat knife clown hole.
Yeah, you definitely do. What's our 18th hole? The one where you hit the ball in there with no expectation of getting it back?
Oh, yeah. It's just a wheel that spins, and you got to get it in the right hole.
There are 200 holes on it. All of them relate to the various classes in Fatal. And if you land on Knight, you get your ball back, and that's all it is. Otherwise, you're like, oh, I got Window Maker.
Oh. Oh, it's all just different circumferences of assholes.
And most of them are too small for the ball to go in.
Yeah. It just holds it and then drops it off.
That's all you're playing for, is the one asshole big enough for your ball to go
the
in.
The one gaping asshole.
And then a siren goes off.
Woo!
And a picture of John shows up, and it's like, you hit the gaping asshole.
It looks like you were the gaping asshole all along. Looks like the real gaping asshole was the friends we made along the way.
So there you go. That's our miniature golf course. We'll call it Sweet System Mastery Cakes.
Sweet cakes.
All right. Thank you, Mir Dudek. Next question comes to us from non-Redditor J.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we got a lot of Reddit questions this week. You're in charge of creating a gritty reboot of the Dick Van Dyke Show to be titled Dick Van Diesel. What is the pitch, and who would your cast be?
Well.
I mean, my problem with this as a concept is that Vin Diesel will not willingly fall down.
No, like, the thing is, I immediately thought of it as a prank show that Vin Diesel was doing.
How about a prank show?
Because he's a dick. He's Dick Vin Diesel.
Okay, how about this better? How about a prank show where Vin Diesel is invariably the butt of the joke? Like, every single episode is, let's play pranks on Vin Diesel.
And every episode, he just reacts to things very mildly, and he's like, hey, come on.
Come on now. I got to give you that one. That was actually kind of
okay,
funny.
All right. You got me.
That's pretty good. It's a good thing that car's insured. Am I right?
Yeah. Yeah, all right. Well, you know, you guys have fun.
How many more episodes of this are there, by the way? Because I'm
I got some stuff to do.
I'm actually kind of busy.
I got 10 more Fast and Furious movies to make.
He really does. All right, so let's see. Who else we put in this show, which we've already repurposed as being...
obviously Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah, we got to have Ashton Kutcher in there, and he's not the one doing the pranks, because he's already had a show of that.
No, he just is always in the background. They managed to get it at the first intersection of Kutcher and Diesel.
Yeah, and eventually it hits a point where Vin Diesel sees Ashton Kutcher, and he's like,
oh
shit.
God damn it.
Oh, how
and like Kutcher does, too. He's like, oh, man.
I'm so sorry.
Diesel's going to get pranked. I can see him.
Again, I am not affiliated with this show.
I'm not doing anything. Time I find you.
They even blur my face on the episodes.
I have not signed a disclosure. They cannot use my likeness.
Let's see. Who else do I want to be in this thing? Let's get Michelle Rodriguez in there as the person who actually gets mad at us doing the pranks. Not us. Whoever does the pranks.
You know, us.
Yeah. So she's just like, you can't keep doing this, guys. And then I'm going to have, who's actually doing the pranks?
Let's say Crispin Glover.
Crispin Glover, and I'm going to say James Gunn's brother.
Yeah.
You know the guy. Billy Gunn. Billy Squires.
Billy Squire.
Yeah.
Billy Squire and Crispin Glover together at last.
Billy Squire and Crispin Glover hate Vin Diesel. That's the name of our show.
Dick and Vin Diesel.
Yeah, it's called Dick Vin Diesel Over.
Yeah.
So there you go. There's your answer to your very good question that with nothing, I don't think I've ever actually, all I remember about the Dick Van Dyke Show is he trips over an ottoman.
And occasionally doesn't.
Yeah.
Occasionally the joke is he walks around it.
Oh, well, there you go then.
Yeah.
All right. So occasionally they try to pull a prank on Vin Diesel and it turns out he's been dead for years.
Occasionally.
It happens from time, mostly in the 9th season.
Mostly.
All right. So let's see. Let's move on to a new question here. We're going to go to Nikki Cheeses.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Nikki Cheeses asks, would you rather have eyes where your nipples are and nipples where your eyes are, or sometimes when you open a cabinet or drawer, it's secretly filled with wasps?
Oh, man. I'm going to go with the eyes and nipples.
You're going to go with a nipple swap? You're going to have nipple eyes?
Yeah, I'm going to go with nip swap,
man,
which is my favorite British television show.
I was going to say, also starring Vin Diesel.
Nipple swap.
Aw, oh, damn it, I got Vin Diesel's nipples.
Aww.
He's that stupid star tattoo. How many times has this one been pierced? It is ratchet on here.
Man, it is like a piece of Swiss cheese on my chest.
This nipple has the consistency of beef jerky.
God, I think I could peel this apart like string cheese.
Whose nipple is this?
Welcome to Whose Nipple Is It Anyway?
Welcome to Nipples of the Rich and Famous.
Well, that got off track real quick.
The heck was it originally about?
Nipples for eyes and eyes for nipples, oh, right. Or drawers of wasps.
And you had already replaced your eyes with nipples and your nipples with eyes. What's your shirt situation in that? Do you just cut holes?
Yeah, you just cut holes in them.
Okay. All right, I can see that. That's fine.
Or you go around topless.
Yeah, you just go around topless. She's like, whatever, man. I'm letting it hang loose. I'm a dude.
Yeah, it's
now,
cool.
Now, if you're a woman and you answer this question and you decide to do the swap, do you have to wear like a blindfold all the time now in America? In
nah,
this
man,
stupid country?
Because you've got nipples where they shouldn't be. You'd probably have to wear like goggles over your breasts is the problem.
See, no, I don't think that's true because we've hit this point in marketing where you can show every single inch of the boob except for that nipple. That nipple's the secret.
But it's the context of the nipple. If you've got a nipple on your forehead, no one's like, ooh, nipple on your forehead, that's hot.
Well, I don't think anyone seeing anything is hot in this situation. First of all, it's you.
Oh, there's definitely someone that's looking at some eyes on some tits and going, I'm into that. That's my fetish.
Ooh, I could just put that on Sonic, throw a diaper in there. I'm off to the races.
Put that on Sonic?
No, the Hedgehog.
Oh, I thought you meant the burger joint.
Yes, put that on the menu at Sonic.
Put that on the Sonic menu so that a woman in roller skates can bring me out some tits with eyes on them.
Oh, man. Dear Weird Al Yankovic. I've got an idea for you called At the Sonic Drive-Thru. It's got a lot of body horror elements in it.
It's weird. I've been working on this with my friend Cronenberg.
Who's not the Cronenberg. He just is a Cronenberg.
He's a Cronenberg.
You know the type. I'm going to go with drawers full of wasps. Wasps have never really stung me before. I'm pretty sure I could just close the drawers.
Nah, man. That would be the worst.
Yeah? Well,
drawers full of wasps.
You're probably way more afraid of wasps than me.
Man, just... fucking wasps. I'm not even afraid of them. I hate them. I hate wasps.
Fair enough. I mean, okay. Here's the thing. I'm just going to always carry around an open can of soda, and that way they'll always just go to that, and I'll be fine.
Always.
Like, it'll be like, ooh, soda. And I'll be like, yeah, joke's on you, Wasp. I didn't even want that soda. It's a DNL.
It's a DNL?
Don't you remember DNL? That's
do not resuscitate?
No. Yes, do not resuscitate.
Yeah.
No, DNL was the super edgy, in-your-face for millennials soda that is literally the 7-Up logo upside down.
Oh, I thought it was short for Daniel.
Nope, it's short for nothing. It's what happens if you turn the 7-Up logo upside down.
Great.
You get DNL, and then you sell that, and it's caffeinated 7-Up.
Oh, boy.
It's still out there.
I
saw bottles of it in Portland. I haven't seen it here in California in forever.
No.
Yeah.
It's also like, I know people that were getting caffeine-free Dr. Pepper from Arizona because they don't sell it in California.
Yeah, there's weird soda variations everywhere. For example, our Barks root beer here in California is caffeinated, but it is not.
Yes.
It's not in other states. There are other states where it isn't. Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. So, and it's just arbitrary. It's just like some market research they did at some point was like, California likes caffeinated root beer.
All right.
Barks is one of my favorite root beers. I wish I could get it uncaffeinated.
Yeah. Well,
so, there you go. Anyway, moving on. Oh, because I don't drink caffeine. That's why that is.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. Here we go. All right, System Masters, if you had to... It's more Vin Diesel questions. Sweet. All right, System Masters, if you had to pick a Vin Diesel character to protect you from other Vin Diesel characters, who would you pick, and how well does your Vin Diesel do?
Well, the problem is, at this point, you've...
They're all pretty much the same.
Well, you've hit a weird singularity because Vin Diesel's characters aren't allowed to fail.
Yeah.
Which means he can't fail to protect me, but he also can't fail to get me, which I think means they just create a perpetual motion machine?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, I'm going to choose the Iron Giant.
Okay.
So that's going to be my choice. And I think the best choices are probably the Iron Giant and Groot, because that way you get a cool character.
You get something that isn't just a big sock full of meat.
Yeah, you don't get that blowhole golem. you get a cool cartoon that's rad and just happens to be voiced by Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to definitely go with either... Well, definitely the Iron Giant, because I love that movie.
Okay.
And plus, he's a giant robot. I mean, that's a great defender. How's Dominic Toretto going to deal with that?
Oh, well, you don't even know.
Yeah,
he's going to use sassy driving and beat him up.
He'll use that sassy driving, probably. Or his character in XXX.
Yeah, XXX. Xander Cage.
Xander Cage?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I for some reason, I thought Xander Cage was the main character from that show before Archer. You know, the one, Frisky Dingo, I want to say.
Oh, no, I never watched that because it just got annoying real quick.
Kind of did, yeah. There's some of the roots of Archer in there.
Yeah.
But not a lot. Honestly, it feels like you can pretty much skip that team's art from C-Lab 2021 straight to Archer and you'll be happy.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I mean, because C-Lab 2021 is the greatest show.
I love that shit.
In the early years.
It is definitely my jam.
Yeah, it is extremely my jam. So, all right. Let's see. I'm going to go with the Iron Giant. Who are you picking?
I am going to go with, man, I'm going to say Dominic Toretto, and I'll tell you why.
Because he has contractually obligations where he has to be able to, like, beat The Rock in a fight?
Well, also because then I might be able to beat The Rock. Because if he brings his crew with him.
Oh, yeah, he might bring his crew.
Yeah.
You mean Statham and The Rock?
Yeah, man, that'd be rad as hell. I'd be like, oh, shit, it's Luda.
It's Luda and Tyrese Gibson and...
Michelle Rodriguez and some lady.
Natalie something or other.
Imbruglia, yeah.
Yeah, it's Natalie Imbruglia. Natalie Imbruglia in blackface is the third. Yeah. No, she's like an Australian hacker. I don't know. I've never seen any of those. What am I doing?
So, yeah, that is mine. Just for the off chance that I'll meet The Rock.
Very good choice. I mean... I might actually have to change it to Groot then, because then there's a very good choice. I'll meet Chris Pratt and Dave Bautista. And Dave Bautista has been winning me over with his acting game so much.
I mean, I got to give it to these pro wrestlers that have gotten into the acting game.
Yeah.
These two of them.
These two, because like I've seen some John Cena movies.
Yeah.
Those are
Yeah, and unfortunately, I should not see John Cena.
No. What you also shouldn't see is, well, how do you feel about Kevin Nash?
How do you feel about Kevin Nealon?
Yeah, how do you feel about professional wrestler Kevin Nealon?
How do you feel about that?
Yeah. No, Kevin Nash has been the bad guy in a couple of different comic book movies.
Yes, he has.
He was the Russian in one of the Punisher movies.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm blanking on the other one, but he was...
Wasn't he Sabretooth?
No. Tyler Mane.
Yeah.
Yeah. I forget the other one, but Kevin Nash has also been a villain in yet another comic book movie.
Yeah.
So he's out there being not a very good actor, but big and scary.
Man, rewatching that Punisher movie was... Whew.
That is a rough film. It's got the same problem that a modern day Vin Diesel movie would have, as a matter of fact, which is the Punisher is a really, really good guy. And he keeps going, I'm edgy and dangerous. Incidentally, I saved your cat.
Yeah. I cooked your dinner. Also, I haven't killed anyone. Here you go. Yeah, Punisher here.
That was real sad. And also, way too much weird roommate stuff.
Oh, yeah. That sitcom that just shoves itself into the movie. I'm like, what?
What is happening? That's why Warzone remains the best Punisher movie.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, granted, John Bernthal's Punisher appearance on the Daredevil TV show was really, really good.
And looking forward to his standalone.
Yeah, but as it stands, at the moment, I think the height of the Punisher's glory has been Punisher Warzone.
Yeah.
Especially that point where he uses a bazooka just to kill some flippy capoeira guy. So, moving on.
Yeah.
Next question comes to us from
the internet.
9657657.
What?
That's his name.
All right.
And he says, would you rather poop hands or have poop four hands?
Poop hands.
Yeah, I'm going to go with poop hands as well.
Because you didn't specify size, so I could poop some baby hands.
it's like Cookie Crisp sized hands.
Yeah. Just look down and you got a pile of hands in there.
I'm pooping hands.
You get that one long hand that comes out. You're like, oh, I got some Marfin hands.
Oh, I got them little rabbit hands coming out of there.
I got ghost hands. I don't even know what happened to the hands down there.
I ate too much Chinese food last night. I got them fire hands.
Oh, man. It's not coming out. It's real gripping in there.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to agree with you on this one and go with pooping hands, because that's a private experience.
Yeah, because then I could be handstipated.
No one's got... Very nice. No one needs to know I've got them hands coming out my butt. That's just between me and the toilet and my hands. But if I got hands or poop for hands, then everyone knows.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that makes my entire life more difficult, whereas pooping hands only makes one part of my life difficult.
Presumably, it makes it very difficult.
Presumably.
You never
know. I mean, I don't know if you're going to be able to flush hands.
Well, you're going to have to pick your poop locations. But the thing is, people aren't going to worry about you for not flushing. They're going to be like, oh my God, a pile of severed hands.
Like, there's some fucking serial killer around here.
Yeah.
He's just leaving piles of hands.
That's going to be the real problem for you. not hygiene. People aren't like, oh, you should really flush that pile of human hands.
Oh, what's going to happen is you're going to move from your house and someone else is going to be there. They're going to be digging in the backyard and find this giant pile of skeletal hands and be like, holy shit.
I just realized it doesn't actually specify that it has to be human hands.
Oh, well, there you go.
I got to poop cute little raccoon hands.
Little chinchilla hands for me, thank you.
That's what it's going to be.
I can flush those.
I'm going to poop ninjas. I'm going to poop the hand.
Poop the hand.
That's my plan.
Yeah, I'm going to have poop for the hand.
You know what? So does that Iron Fist show.
Fuck you, Iron Fist. You're garbage.
It wasn't very good. Some of it was okay, but most of it wasn't very good. That's our review of Iron Fist.
It was pretty much bad. Anyway. Yeah.
Give him a goddamn costume. He really needs one.
Make him his actual character.
Please
instead
do.
Instead of that douchebag.
Yeah. At least, by the Defenders, he should have grown a real sense of humor and become a wisecracking guy in a costume.
Yeah.
That's all we want. All right. Moving on here. This one comes to us from Random Paladin, who says, fuck you. Yoga hosers rocked. Now I'm glad I made you read Fatal. It was his idea on the Patreon.
Aw.
Say something nice about Kevin Smith, or I'm going to send you a copy of Foss's Doctor Who RPG to review. No.
I'll say something nice about Kevin Smith.
He's alive incongruously. He seems to get a lot of hot wives.
A lot of them. Just stacks of them. He poops them.
It's Kevin Smith's fault. It's Kevin Smith's fart.
It's Kevin Smith's fart. That's the best thing I can say about him.
Well, that's going to be the name of his podcast.
Kevin Smith's fart.
It's Kevin Smith's fault that Joey Lauren Adams is famous. It's Kevin Smith's fault that Ben Affleck's performances in the mid-90s were stupid. I'm blaming everything on Kevin Smith, so no.
No, man. Kevin Smith, when he is not directing, when he's just hanging out and talking, pretty funny.
I guess.
His specials where he's like, I'm just talking to a crowd of people about stuff, that's fine.
Yeah, remember how much he was bragging about how he had gotten to see the Ben Affleck bat suit and how it looked exactly like the Jim Lee bat suit? No, it doesn't. It looks like a ceramic model of the Return of the Dark Knight bat suit.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, I don't know what he was smoking. He's supposed to be some sort of expert on Batman.
And yet,
he has no idea what he's talking about vis-a-vis Batman. Maybe there was an early suit that he got to see.
Maybe. Maybe they had a decent suit, and then they were like, nah.
Nah, let's give him the world's fattest bat logo.
Oh, God, I'm so fat.
Is this whole outfit made out of dinner plates? Yes, it is. It's supposed to look like armor. It doesn't. I can't move. Yeah. All right, so no, I'm not saying anything. You know what? Chasing Amy was okay. No, it wasn't. What the fuck am I saying? Dogma was okay.
Wait a minute. No, it wasn't.
No, hang on. No, it was Mallrats. Mallrats was okay. Wait.
Wait.
No, it's Geely. Geely was...
There we go.
There
we
it
found
is.
It.
Found it.
Got him.
Got there eventually. It's definitely Geely.
Definitely.
That's a fun movie to even say the name of. Have you ever seen it?
No.
Oh, my God. It is so bad. It features, I shit you not, it features one of those, and then everyone stood up and clapped scenes.
Nice.
Where Jennifer Lopez goes to like a bunch of kids like and takes their computer and throws it on the ground and yells at them. And they're all like, wow, we're scared of this badass lady.
Wow.
Yeah, it is real pat. People are going to write in now that I've got Geely confused with some other movie. And that's okay. I probably do.
That's fine.
Yeah. All right. So there you go. Ted Cheddar says, I saw on Twitter you guys are following the F Plus podcast. Do you have any idea how I can get them to read one of the docs I submitted for an episode? I've sent in a few, but they never read it, and I basically spent hours reading bodybuilding prostitute reviews for no reason. Ted Cheddar. John, are you familiar with the F Plus?
I am familiar with them.
I think I've played it for you a few times, because you're not really an avid podcast guy.
No.
I'm a huge fan of that show. And honestly, I'm following them because I want to be on that show. That's the only reason I even did this podcast in the first place. That's my season arc, John. That's my one-armed man.
That's my white whale.
That's why I had to get your father out of the picture, John, because I want to be on the F Plus podcast. And I'll do it if it takes me 97 years. Nine seasons, John. F Plus podcast.
Oh, wow, this is real dark.
This is going to be the dark season, John. Jeff getting on the F Plus podcast.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to rip open time and space, and I'm going to find more of the F Plus podcast, and I'm going to be on it.
Oh, God.
No, I'm a huge fan of that show. I think it's a very funny premise. I do sort of want to read on that show, and I have actually written up a doc. I haven't submitted it yet. I did one on Simian lines.
Huh.
And if you don't know what those are, well,
good.
That's what makes them so amazing, that there's an internet community based around them.
Yep.
So, otherwise, I don't really have any strong advice for you. I guess be Montreth, because Lord knows she seems to be super into it. And if you're listening and you're in the F Plus podcast, bring us on. Come on. You brought those guys from We Don't Even Own a TV on, and we've been doing this way longer than those two jackasses.
Jerk.
And they don't even have the temerity to do it with real role-playing games. You heard me, Chris Collision, if that is your real name, and I really doubt it. So...
Chris Collision sounds like he wants to mind freak me.
I am not kidding. That is the name of one of the hosts of We Don't Even Own a Television.
Good.
So, anyway, moving on. Have you ever heard of that show?
No. Yes, because of you.
Yeah, that show is our show, except it's real books, and they keep playing little theme songs to everything.
Real books.
Well, okay. Whoops.
Whoops-a-daisies.
Not role-playing game books. And, yeah, I'm starting a feud.
Yeah, well, that's it. We're starting internet beef.
We've got beef with you. We don't even own a TV. We started doing this shit before you, I think. I don't know.
Maybe.
Who could possibly say?
Who could possibly care?
No one look into it. And that's been what we think of the F Plus podcast.
There you are.
Next question comes to us from, I actually don't know, Judge Grumble.
Ah, Judge Grumble.
Judge Grumble.
My favorite bulldog.
My favorite British breakfast. Give me a big old plate of Judge Grumble.
Give me that Judge Grumble.
British bulldog is also really good.
Yeah.
Oh, a little Judge Grumble.
Judge Grumble brought me my morning Judge Grumble.
Boof. I'm going extinct because I'm useless. Dear John and or Jeff, two questions. I just got caught up to System Mastery, and during your plot armor talk in one of your afterthoughts, you surprised me when you didn't mention the Lady of Pain. I have no problem with the lady and think she is well implemented as a force of nature rather than a character, but I've heard some complaints about her perfect untouchable godliness. Do you think she is plot armor done well? So, first of all, let's lay this out for people who don't know what that is. In the Planescape setting from 2nd edition Dungeons & Dragons, in the city of Sigil, The city is kept safe from demons and gods and what have you.
Being that it is the, like, center of doors and leads everywhere, it's a thing that a lot of people would want to have control of.
Yes, and what keeps them from getting control is the Lady of Pain, who is a god, sort of, that shows up as some lady made of knives with a big old collar made of more knives, and she keeps the city safe, as far as anyone knows, because she doesn't talk to anyone, and no one can talk to her, and she just sort of glides around the city, and things are kept safe.
And if you get in her shadow, you die.
And if you mess with her too much, she puts you in a maze.
Yes.
A permanent maze that you'll never get out of unless she wants you to.
As per the spell maze.
No, it's worse. It's this crazy nonsense.
Yeah.
But anyway, she's not really a plot element. She's more of a setting element.
Yeah, it's not so much plot armor, because they're...
It's best to not think of her as an NPC.
Yeah, because a lot of times they're like, oh, here's a, like, a boss that is part of the plot that you need to do.
Yeah.
And then... they are inviolable and you can't do anything to them.
Yeah.
But this goes to fixing the problem with a lot of games where they're like, oh, this has a setting and here are these gods. Also, we statted up the gods for some reason, and as soon as you do that, it means your players have the option of going and killing them.
Right.
Leaving the Lady of Pain, this weird, mysterious figure, means it's not a thing that you are, as a player, going to go, oh, yeah, I want to go, like, stab the Lady of Pain. You're like, oh, that's a thing that just shows up.
Yeah. She's basically setting or window dressing.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't have stats, at least as far as I know. I've read several Planescape books, but I certainly haven't read them all. And they've never really statted her out to my knowledge. She literally is just sort of, occasionally, if you want to make the sigil setting more mysterious while you're there, you describe her as gliding by in the background. You can't kill her. You can't really even interact with her. There are no stories I'm aware of where she's relevant to them beyond sort of the way that God is relevant to a story on Earth.
It is essentially the excuse for, hey, why isn't, like, the Abyss taking over Sigil? Lady of Pain, don't worry about it.
Yeah, so she's not really plot armor so much as she is good window dressing.
Yeah, she's just part of the background.
Yeah, let's see. One of you, John, I think, mentioned they play War Machine / Hordes and didn't play a human faction. I was wondering what faction you play and who your favorite Warcasters and Warlocks are. So, actually, neither of us really plays that much anymore.
No, but also, neither of us really were into humans either.
Yeah, John was a Legion player.
Yep, I was Everblight, and favorite one from there is, well, I don't know, probably the Prophet version of, what's his nuts?
Gul'dan.
Yeah, Thorax.
Yeah, yeah. Kallak.
Thagrosh.
Thargosh. Thorgash.
Thag.
Thag. Big ol' Thag, yeah. So, basically, it's harder for me to pick a non-human faction in War Machine than it is in other games, because when I say I like to play non-humans, I mean I like to play non-bipeds.
Yeah.
I like to play weird, out-there aliens. That's kind of my jam. That's why I don't, for example, play Infinity, because Infinity has two alien factions, and all of them just look like sexy animes with squid heads.
Yeah.
So...
and on the table, most of them are just in armor anyway, so it's, yeah. What is this? May as well be a human?
Yeah, might as well. So I like playing. I like painting and playing weird, out there nonsense. In War Machine, I ended up going with Krix at first. I know that there's humans in the Krix army, but it was the closest I could get with weird, like, skeleton monsters and
ghosts
and goopy things and so on. So that was the creepiest one I could get to, where I also kind of like the rules. Nowadays, I play Rhett in War Machine, if I play at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I have a convergence army because...
because robots.
Hot damn, a lot of robots. So, there you go. All right. So, that's Judge Grumble. Next question comes to us from Carl Prozac.
Good.
Carl Prozac asks, dear Jeff and John, but mostly Jeff.
But mostly John.
I feel like a dick for putting this question in here. Here we go. I recently discovered the early Afterthought videos on your site.
Huh.
Does John always look as insufferably smug in real life as he does in the videos, or is he just some sort of onstage persona type of deal? John is very much not a smug person.
No, not even a little.
No,
mostly just on the podcast.
I'm the smug one of the two of us.
Is very true.
In real life. So he's not, but I can see where you're getting that from looking at him.
Yeah.
But no, he's not smug in real life. He just plays one on those three videos we made before we realized that camera sucks and podcasts are where the money is.
Yeah, well, it just took way too long for editing and trying to do stuff with it, and we didn't have a good shoot space.
That said, you still want to do that, don't you?
Oh, I still would like to do some video stuff.
Yeah.
It just, man, trying to get that shit together is way harder.
I'll get some video stuff going. Look, I need to do some video stuff, folks. So, girls, please send me your resumes.
Some video stuff.
I've got a couch. I think that's all we really need.
Right?
Yeah.
I've seen the internet. I know.
I know. I know how this works. Ew, that sounds awful. Never mind. I don't want to make System Mastery audition-style porn. I've changed my mind. Girls, cancel your resumes. Thank you.
No, it's not porn, though. It's just them auditioning to be in a role-playing game.
Wow, we need to film that now. Oh, we need to actually. That's the thing we should totally be really making is like auditions, like one of those porn-style auditions, but just have it just be never-ending questions about role-playing game characters. And the girl keeps like, I don't know if I want to. And you're like, no, please, please tell me if you've ever played as a gnome.
Look, I'm not going to pressure you in anything. I'm just saying I think the interview would go a lot better if you picked up that 20.
Yeah, do that thing where you just wave a handful of $20 bills at them. You know, like, would you play a paladin for this much money?
The adventure has orc babies.
I still feel gross even talking about this. Moving on. Next question comes to us from... this is someone who decided to send us like 5 questions. I have picked one.
Yeah. To everyone sending us questions, pick a question.
Or at least, like, bold your really good one.
Send us 20. Bold the one you want read.
Yeah. We may choose to ignore your bolding and read a different one, but generally, we'll answer one question at a time unless it's a really good list.
We will take your bolding into consideration.
We will. Especially if it's a big, bold barbecue sauce.
Bold as the entire out west.
Out west?
Yeah.
This is a gay part of the west?
Yes.
Bold as the entire out west.
Everyone in the west that's out and proud.
That's how bold this sauce is. All right, let's see.
Spicy as the Castro.
So his question of his questions is, my brothers love Disney and have recently started taking to doing duet renditions of Be a Man.
Sweet. Yeah, I'm on board.
I'd happily make that a trio.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite Disney songs.
It's great.
Yeah. Be a Man. Let's see. I join in because they're my brothers and it's good fun, but lately it seems like it happens at some point every time we get together. Don't get me wrong. I love the song and everyone loves our party piece, but it's on the verge of starting to become a little overdone, and it's a party piece that lasts for over 3 minutes and requires several rapid changes in voice types. Oh, yeah, because you got to do that little piece in Harvey Fierstein's voice.
Yeah.
I'm never going to do the thing. That's, I don't know what the actual line is.
I don't know what the actual line is.
I don't know what the actual line is. Man, I should have skipped Jim or whatever it was. Be a man. Yeah, okay, anyway.
Good God.
While singing, can you do anything about this? More importantly, should I do anything about this? Oh, can I do anything about it? I thought he was asking us for help.
Can you do anything? Can you show up?
Yeah, guys, stop.
Hold on. Let me get there. Guys, I got some conflict resolution
there's
training.
A whole canon of good Disney music you could pick instead.
Look, guys, come on. Do some Little Mermaid.
Come on, guys. Do Kiss the Girl.
Do Part of Your World. Everyone loves Part of the
Everyone
world.
Loves Part of Your World. Everyone loves Kiss the Girl, too. Everyone loves Under the Sea. Come on. Let's do this.
Come on. If you want to do a multi-part thing, you can do Prince Ali,
ooh,
Fabulous
yeah,
He.
That's a good one, yeah.
You got a lot of genie bits in there.
I think Be Our Guest has a couple of voice changes. Also, Gaston.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely has at least 2 voices. So there's a lot of options out there, guys. We can help. Hell, Gaston's basically the same medley of the base concept of a song. It's a song about manhood.
Yeah.
So switch to Gaston for a while. And you know what I tell you? Girls generally will prefer Gaston. So if you're doing this to pick up ladies, then you should definitely do all those songs that are about ladies.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Should I do anything about this? After all, family's family, and it's not like I have to do it every single day I'm with them, just when there's a large enough crowd. Richard.
Nah.
No, you're having a good time. Just do it until it's not fun.
Yeah. You know, if you don't enjoy it, just don't.
Yeah, that's all. That's easy enough. And again, there are about a million Disney songs you could drag in instead. Surprise everyone. Hit them with a Beata Maria or a Colors of the Wind.
Dude, man, just do Go the Distance.
Ooh, I don't remember the line.
I'll find my way. I can go the distance.
Now, if I'm picking a Hercules song, I'm going to go with I Won't Say I'm in Love. I love that song.
Man, it is real good. The music in that, underrated, I think.
I think so, too. I think when I first saw that movie, I was a whiny little teenager who was like, that's nothing like the actual Greek mythology.
Mm.
And now I watch it, and I'm like, man, the music in this kicks ass. I mean, granted, I still think Megara is a stupid name. Just name her Meg and be done.
Oh, yeah. But you know what? He could tell you what the Grecians earn. That's a great line.
That is a great gag. All right, so next question, and I think we'll call this one the last question for this
All
week.
All right, sounds good.
This one is from Neil and her son.
All right.
And it is, karaoke masters, what are the karaoke rules of engagement? So, I don't remember.
Well, you don't want to go to karaoke, like, Guantanamo by breaking karaoke Geneva Convention.
No karaoke chemical weapons. No farting on the mic before handing it to your friend, I guess.
There you go.
There it is. Your turn. Now, have we really discussed Ukwebekt on the show?
I don't know if we have gone... we may have discussed Ukwebekt at some point.
So, Ukwebekt, or Ultimate Karaoke Extreme Battle Challenge Tournament, is John and I's first ever collaboration.
Our collabos.
Yeah, well, John was still living in Florida. We started planning this out for no reason at all. And this was a karaoke game that takes karaoke, which is a fun night out hanging out with friends, and makes it into a needlessly complicated, mean-spirited game that everyone hates.
Yep. Even with trying to put rules in there where it's like, just don't be a dick to people. Come on, man.
So let me run through the rules of Ultimate Karaoke Extreme Battle Challenge Tournament, which are the karaoke rules of engagement. And John, you correct me if I get any of these wrong, okay?
All right.
First of all, you're going to need one person who's coming that is the judge that will not play. This is easy because the Karaoke Battle Challenge Tournament is a huge pain in the ass, and there you always have that one friend who's like, oh, I want to go, but I don't sing.
Yes. So you have the friend who hates trying to sing but just loves being around people that are singing.
Yeah.
Great for them. They can be the judge.
So there's your judge, although they're not really a judge.
They are more the arbiter of who gets what.
Everyone is also going to need to bring $5. Now, all the fives of dollars from every player are going to go into a hat, and that's because the judge is going to need to sign up for everyone's songs at once, and you want them all to happen at the same order. You want them to go in and all be played through.
Yeah.
So what that means is that you need to tip the KJ a lot of money.
Yeah, you're going to bribe the KJ for this to happen.
You're going
to
be like, hey, man, here's $50 to $75.
We're about to ruin karaoke for about the next half hour, so here you go.
And if you don't want it to be the next hour, then take these $75 give me one page of your karaoke sign-up sheet, and then play every song I put on it in order.
Yeah.
And so that's basically what the judge's job is. Now, the other part of it is you're going to pull names out of a hat, and you're going to assign songs to those people without their knowing about it until they're on stage.
Yeah.
You're going to take the name.
Every person who shows up is going to have a song that is built around the theme of that challenge.
That's right. We did themes, so it'd be things like, oh, tonight is gender swap night, where you have to sing a song by the opposite gender.
Or it's 80s night, or one-hit wonders, or love songs, or whatever.
Yeah. Now, obviously, you should try to pick stuff that they've at least heard of.
Yeah. One of the big rules was, don't pick weird, obscure things just to try and trip people
up. Yeah, the idea isn't that you want to see them stand up there and go, I don't know this. It's that you want to see them up there and challenge themselves with a song that they would never have picked for themselves, but everyone knows that song.
Yeah.
Once you write down the name of the person who you have to assign a song to and the song you want to assign them to, or you want to assign to them, you give that to the judge, and the judge goes and turns it in.
Yeah, and so, the judge does have final rule if they think something is too obscure, doesn't fit the theme, or whatever.
Yes, and they can discuss that with you privately. Once all the songs are in, you wait for your turn, you go up on stage, you find out what song you're going to do because it shows up on a screen in front of you.
Yep.
And then you sing your song. And everyone has poker chips worth 1, 2, and 3 points each, and they can give them to you. So each person is assigning a first, second, and third place for their own favorite.
And most points will win.
And most points wins, and that's all there is to it.
And the prize we gave out for winning was we made a
mix CD.
A CD that had all the songs that people had sung.
Yeah, we didn't record during the evening. We just did the real versions of the songs.
Yeah.
We did that, I think we did 3 nights of that before it became apparent that literally no one was willing to do it more than
once.
It was
basically just us.
Yeah, it was this great, which we can do without having to have all this folder all. I can just dare John to do things.
Hey, sing this song. I'm fine.
But we did actually go out and play this a couple of times. I think we got through 80s night and gender swap night. And
love songs.
No, it wasn't love. It was soundtracks. We had to do stuff for movies.
Did we?
Yeah, because I had to sing Man of Constant Sorrow.
I don't think you... Did you?
Yeah.
I don't remember that at all.
We weren't at our normal place. We were at a different place when we had to do it. I forget the name of it, but I had to do Man of Constant Sorrow. I cannot for the life of me remember what anyone else did.
Yeah.
I normally would not sign up for that song because it's hard.
I would because I love it.
It's a great song. Don't get me wrong. It's just hard.
I have done it before. Yeah. It's wonderful.
Yeah. So that's the karaoke rules of engagement, or the Ultimate Karaoke Extreme Battle Challenge Tournament.
If you're talking about karaoke etiquette, it's stay on beat, do a song you know, don't rap in the middle of it about anything. Don't change lyrics to be about where you are or your friend's birthday.
Oh, yeah. If you start your song by going, San Diego, San Diego, local baseball team.
Yeah. Then don't change the lyrics.
Yeah.
Just do the song. Even if you are shit at singing, if you are on beat doing the words, I am fine with you.
Yeah. Also, don't just stand up there.
Yeah. If there comes a point where you're like, I'm uncomfortable, don't sign up.
Yeah.
If you just stand there with a mic in your hand staring out into the audience, that's terrible. Just turn to the KJ, give them the mic, and leave.
Yeah. I think there's also some really important rules for karaoke. Audience rules of engagement. Don't turn your back on the stage. You know, it's hard enough to be up there, but if you're there because of a bachelorette party or whatever.
Well, especially if you're there for a party, if someone that isn't in your party is singing and you have taken up the entire front of the stage, do not immediately turn back and start having loud conversations right in front of the stage.
Because it sucks enough to be up there and, you know, with an audience that's not responding, so just don't be those people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So any party, try and pay attention to people that aren't in your party. Who
also
knows?
Pick songs that don't have giant instrumental breaks.
Dude,
nothing is more boring than watching the thing that says instrumental break 1 minute 35 seconds show up.
Yeah, that's one of these days, though. I want to sign up for Radar Love and just be like, hey guys, this is a 6 minute song of which there is a 4 minute guitar solo.
So enjoy it. I'm going to get a drink. I'll be back.
I'll be back. I'll be back in a minute. I'm going to, and at the very end, I'm just going to be like, she's got a thing. So there you go. Those are the karaoke rules of engagement. And we're going to call it there. That'll be enough questions for today. So, thanks so much for listening.
I'm never going to catch my breath. That's the line.
Thank you. Thank you for giving me the Harvey Fierstein line.
There you are. You got it.
All I remember is, boy, do I feel like a fool for cutting Jim.
Yeah.
Of the various lines that are from like the side characters.
Hope he doesn't see
right,
through
me.
Which now I really wish that I knew how to swim.
Be a man.
Yeah.
God damn it. Now, it's completely in my head now.
It's so good.
It's an amazing song.
Yes.
It's almost even better in Cantonese, sung by Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
That is an amazing bit. But otherwise, love that.
Yep.
So, moving on. Have we already done on the show what your favorite Disney song is?
I don't know.
I don't know. What is it?
I don't know, man.
All-time favorite Disney song.
All-time favorite? I mean, it might be Be a Man.
Be a Man is way up there.
It is way up there. I do also just, I love most of the Aladdin soundtrack as well.
It is also very good. I would probably, for myself, I'm going to go with Hellfire from not Beauty and the Beast. What the hell am I saying?
Hunchback.
From Hunchback. Because it's so dark for a Disney song.
Yeah.
It's just, like, ridiculous. It's like he's, like, blaming this woman. It's so psychosexual.
Yeah, which is very different for that movie that turned gargoyles into fun little stupid guys.
I know, right? It's like the guy playing Claude Frollo was like, I'm on point. I know what this
now,
I know what this
you
book
guys.
Was.
I am taking this deadly serious.
This is a serious business thing. What do you mean everyone lives? Fuck this.
Fuck you.
I'm going to die then. Fuck this. So yeah, Hellfire would probably be mine. Anyway, thank you so much for listening to Afterthought. As always, if you like what we do, you can support us on Patreon. You can unlock some bonus content by doing that. Or you can follow us on SystemMastery@gmail, Twitter, Facebook, Reddit, wherever you want to follow us and find us and say things to us. Those are the best places to send us your questions, which we need some more of now.
Yep. Just, you know, if you go to Reddit, you can put it in there. If you go on the Twitter, just at us and do a hashtag afterthought.
Yeah, that helps me out a lot because it makes it a lot easier to find them later.
Yeah.
Otherwise, thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you in a week. And until then, have a good week.
A good, great week.
A good, great week. A great, good week.
Yeah. Make sure to catch your breath.
I feel like... But I'm never going to catch my breath.
Never.
All right. Good night.